Okay. There's a great topic is Hilchot Zimun because, especially you go to shul, you eat breakfast, sometimes lunch, sometimes even dinner with everybody, and you're all sitting at the same table. You have quite the opportunity every day, numerous times a day, no matter how many people you have in your family at home, you have the experience numerous times a day to recite a Zimun when you say Birkat HaMazon. Every morning, the 7:45 minyan and the Namdar minyan, they all have bagels. So they all eat together. They have to know what are the halachot of Zimun. This is something that Rabbi Cohen's shul also is extremely relevant, as Rabbi Cohen has breakfast and learning ustad every single day. So it's very important to know the halachot of Zimun. But before we discuss the halachot and really get into the Shulchan Aruch, which we use as a base, I wanted to just discuss a few additional points of Zimun that I thought are important. What is a Zimun? Have you wondered what is a Zimun? And what do you think it is?
I think it means like invitation, you know?
Invitation, okay.
It's like all of us are coming together. It's like a huge thing. They say when people come together to like think Hashem, it's like even bigger. It's like even stronger. So like, you like recommend like people like being yotzei by the same bracha. So yeah, it's
You're hitting on a lot of great ideas. You're hitting on a lot of great ideas. So one of the goals for tonight and of the next few nights is that we're gonna really organize those ideas and figure out what exactly is this Zimun business. And all those ideas that you mentioned are all right. How they all come into play. So really, in the most basic sense, the Meiri says that Zimun means that we prompt each other. We prompt one another to recite Birkat HaMazon with Kavana. As if anything is important to you, you give it the requisite attention. That's really one of the main things, the main ideas of Zimun, that it's something that's important to us, so it has a certain amount of attention that we should be giving it. And that's what Zimun is all about. excuse me. So when we do that, we really do that for every mitzvah, right? We recite a beracha on every mitzvah to really get ourselves in the mindset for what we should be thinking when we perform this mitzvah. Unfortunately, we're not so good at that, so we also have this thing called a L'shem Yichud to help us reorient ourselves into what we should be thinking when we perform the mitzvah and recite the beracha. But Meikar HaDin, really all you need is the beracha. So we try to do that for Birkat HaMazon as well. But Birkat HaMazon is already a beracha, so we're going to recite a beracha. And that itself is a beracha. That's a little bit unnecessary. So therefore, instead we do a zimun, which is a preparation for the berachot of Birkat HaMazon in bracha form, but it doesn't have Shem u'Malchut. It doesn't have Hashem's name in it. Therefore, it's a quasi beracha, but it's not a full beracha. No, that's the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan. It's actually related to Birkat Kohanim. Some Acharonim, like the Netziv and Netivot, discuss how Birkat Kohanim is also beracha, and yet it's interesting that Kohanim recite beracha on the beracha, and why that's necessary, but that's not for now. So, Al Pi Pashtut, the Gemara says the source for reciting a Zimun is the pasuk. It says V'achalta. You have to recite a beracha, and we say, Gadolu l'Adonai iti. Come, let's raise up Hashem together. Come, raise up Hashem with me, and let's raise Him up together. And Kishem Adonai, when I call out Hashem's name, Havu Godel, grant Hashem greatness. Let's give Hashem greatness together. Yeah.
If all these pasukim are very very central to the idea of what a zimun is, why do we call the pasuk from I think Kohelet? Like,
Yeah.
why don't we like call one of these pasukim that are like more pertaining to like why we have a zimun in the first place?
Which pasuk? One more time. What do you mean? Which pasukim?
It's like
Sof Devarah Punishma. Ah, Sof Devarah, that's what it means. Why don't we say those before we recite the Zimun itself? It's a great question. It's a great question. Why don't we actually say those Pesukim? Wow. Well, why we say those Pesukim in the first place is one of the questions I want to address tonight. Tonight, really, the goal is to discuss what is a Zimun and the structure of the Zimun that we say. And then in future nights, we'll discuss what are the halachot of Zimun, when you can recite a Zimun, when you cannot recite a Zimun, who can recite a Zimun, all of those things. So what you're asking is, what's the role of Avaracha and Sof Devarah Kol Nishma? Is that, and if it's part of the Zimun, how come we don't mention the Psukim of the Zimun itself? A great question. It's a great question. I actually never thought about it, but I can think of an answer, which we'll get to, but that's a great question area. So this idea of Zimun is learned from these Pesukim, which many of them are in Tehillim. It's a big discussion in the Rishonim, the nature of the Veracha. Is it Deoraita? Is it Derabanan? Nowadays, we basically all assume that it is Derabanan. Therefore, Safik Derabanan the Kula. If you're not sure if you have to recite a Zimun, you shouldn't say it again. Zimun is a mitzvah mi Derabanan, and as such, we treat it that lends itself to various issues of Safek. Now, I want to discuss, before we say, look at the actual text of the Zimun, why do we need to make a Zimun? Why do we make a Zimun? So, I already discussed Baruch HaShulchan above, that since it's a preparation, for a Beracha, we need, just like any Beracha on a Mitzvah, we have a Beracha on Bekar HaMazon, just it doesn't have Hashem's name, it's a get the requisite attention that we should all have kavana before him. But that still doesn't explain what does that have to do with a group of people? Why do you need to have a Zimun for a group of people as opposed to an individual? Anyone reciting the Kadam Azon has to have kavana. What is so special in Machshava behind, that's the Tam HaMitzvah Mid Rabbanan, that we have a Zimun Mid Rabbanan for a group of 3 or 10 people? So that really is where the Rambam becomes a major player. The Rambam, in his Perush on Pirkei Avot, discusses how really, you know, it's a terrible, it's a real shame that human beings have such an attachment to physicality. It's a busha, it's a cherpa, that we have such an attachment to physicality. And before we actually continue the Rambam, there's a couple other points. The Rambam says that really it's such a disgusting thing that human beings have to eat. And we should be so embarrassed that we have to eat food. And it's so inappropriate if you think about it, that we really highlight our bodily necessities by inviting each other to eat food at the same time. It's like, let's go to the bathroom together. Like, why would you want to go to the bathroom at the same time? Just to emphasize that I have to go to the bathroom, you have to go to the bathroom, let's go to the bathroom at the same time. That's just disgusting. Right? It's not appropriate. So, the Rambam says that you really shouldn't be trying to invite people over just to highlight the fact that you're a physical human being, you have bodily necessities. And you know what? It's not even that strange what I'm telling you. We by nature are uncomfortable, the Rambam says, eating in front of strangers. And eating in front of strangers is a very uncomfortable thing that we're not so excited to do. And it represents, it reflects this natural humility. But the Rambam says, if you're already alone, then great. You can appreciate the solitude for bodily functions. But if you're already with a companion, you're with another person, there's actually a mitzvah to go get a third person. That's the halakha, that shnayim ha-mesubim yachad, two people who are sitting together, should be chozer achar shalishi. They should go and get a third person to join them at the table and even offer him of their own food. The Rambam says. The Gemara Halacha says. Because at that point, you're already with a companion, you're already sharing, already joining with another person in, noticing your bodily functions, which is so embarrassing, but let's change it. Let's make it better. What do you do? You get a third person, you bring the Shekhinah along with him. When you make a Zimun, Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot, the Shekhinah comes. People who eat together a chayat make a zimon. And that brings the Shekhinah for their Birkat HaMazon. Rav Chaim David HaLevi, who was the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv a few decades ago, right, in the Prat Yosef Wonder class, was Rav Avadia, Chacham Ben Tzion Abashal, Chacham Baruch Ben Chaim, the Syrian rabbi, Syrian community rabbi, Chacham Tzion Levi, who became the chief rabbi of Panama, and also Rav Chaim David HaLevi. Rav Chaim David HaLevi is the author of Aseh Lecha Rav. Arye, which side of the Beit Midrash are you sitting on, left or right? The old or the new side?
To the right. I'm on the right side.
Okay, fine. On the other side, in the Shelot HaTshuvot, section, there is... Oh, you're sitting on the front, I'm to the right of the Aron right now. Okay. Diagonally opposite where Arye is sitting right now is the Shelot HaTshuvot section of the Beit Midrash. And there is a green set of Sfarim there called Aseh Lecha Rav. Aseh Lecha Rav is written by Rav Chaim David HaLevi. And I actually have a set here of Mikor Chaim. Mikor Chaim is his Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, but it's not just that. It's Machshava lined with Halacha. Halacha lined with Machshava. So he tells you the halachot, and then he has a paragraph before or after the halacha that tells you al pi machshava, what is the essence of the halacha? Where does it come from? What is the philosophy behind the halacha? It's a beautiful sefer. And he points out this Rambam. The Rambam says that as much as we have to hide our physical weaknesses and necessities, if you're already going to be joined by another person, you have to go out of your way to get a third person to share your food with him and to bring the Shekhinah down. And that idea in the Rambam I actually found in a different sefer, Rav Kook, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, the first chief rabbi of Arzeinu HaKedosha, has a sefer on Masechet Berachot, Masechet Shabbat, called Ein Ayah. Ein Ayah, Ein Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen, where he tells you like an Ein Yaakov, but in Rav Kook's style. Rav Kook's machshava, Rav Kook's thought, was a unique, unique blend of philosophy and Torah. It's such a beautiful, poetic pen that Rav Kook had with such depth and love for every Jew. Rav Kook writes so beautifully. I just want to show you how he really takes this Rambam and he runs further. Let's read it together, just on the right side. You guys have it? Yeah? Okay. So let me just zoom in so it's clear for you if you're listening on your phones. Okay. Great. Shlosha she'achlu ke'echad. Maybe we were sitting and eating together. Chayavim lezamen, the Mishnah says in Berachot. Ka'asher mitzad ha'anah ha'chomrit shel ha'achila. From the physical side of eating, and you get hana from that, shirov ha'mon b'nei adam nimshachim e'leha, then most people are drawn after their physical need to eat. Hayav ra'ui lema'et ha're'ut v'ha'kibutz v'su'udah would be appropriate. You don't take friends to the bathroom. You don't take friends to the meal. Why would you do that? That's disgusting. K'divrei ha'philosophim shechashu ha'achila l'gnu. Like Aristotle, the Rambam quotes. He's really not... Rav Kook is working off the Rambam. He doesn't tell you though. Like Aristotle said, it's so disgusting that people have to eat. It's a genai. Omnam, Rav Kook disagrees with the Rambam. He's not telling you though. V'istaklut tachlit ha'me'uleh sheba'a mikol shimush chushim. If you look at the greater, loftier purpose that comes from every physical sensation, kishe yiyasher ha'adam bo et darko, when a person straightens his path with it, lo dai shelo yeh lavoz, and not only will it not be a waste, a disgrace, ki im ra'ui l'chvod u ma'ala, it's a lofty, honorable thing. Al Kain, the Torah, the Gemara says, Mishnah says, Shalosha Shachlu Kelechad. Three people eat together. Shekvar Yesh Mazek Kibbutz Vekihila. You're already sitting together. You already had Kenisa. You're already eating breakfast together. Ra'u Elevaer Tachnit Yisod Kibbutz Anoshi. It's appropriate when you're already together to elaborate on the program for the fundamentals, the foundations of human gatherings. Why do we get together? Says Rav Kook. What's the point of a gathering? She'al yidea kibbutz yu hamidot miusharot biyoshe amiti. Rav Kook says, you get together, it's not just you anymore. You're exposed to other people. You interact with people. You see who they are and how they behave. And you learn to be yisharim like them. You pick up midot tovot from spending time with others. The longing, the journey, the seeking out Hashem will be widened. More people will be on board. When each person learns from his friend the path of justice and uprightness. And through that, Hashem's name will be greater and sanctified. When your wisdom and your spiritual benefit, pleasures go up, happiness and everything else will come with it. Everyone will himself reach a greater sense of wholeness. And greater senses of clear visions, truthful perspectives, and the like, that are all detailed and whatever. If you don't think you can do that with another person, if all you're doing is getting together to eat, house of subs, I don't care about anybody else, I'm going to the CM because I want to eat. Everyone's taking food. Then if all you care about is the food, you're not allowing your friend to experience this existential interaction that brings you closer to Hashem. The whole point of getting together is to help each other, to give to each other, to interact with each other. It's like going to a wedding, and I struggle with this all the time. Going to a wedding, all you care about is the food. Talk to people, interact with people, grow with people. It's the best excuse of time. We use the ways to use their time. If all you're going to care about is the food, then you're going to lose out on the ahava and the pleasure of friendship, camaraderie. And then he says, if you work on this idea of entrenching Hashem in your life and to generate, precipitate this ahava of emet, tzedek, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you will be using your time appropriately together. Now let's go to this point. Al kein levases l'reud ha'ba'a al-yeh ha'shi'ifot ha'gashmiyot. Bofnana tov ha'kayam ha'ratzui. He says, really the purpose of all of this, in order to get this holy goal of human interaction that brings out greater, you know, living according to Hashem's ways, says of Kook, yeshechreach, there's a need. V'yachish yuchav l'ramem ha'rayon. You need a physical way to feel. That brings you to raising this lofty idea. That's the purpose of Zimun, says Rav Kook. The purpose of Zimun is to engender these feelings of loving Hashem better and knowing how to act more appropriately from interacting with each other. And that's what we're all getting together. We're prompting each other. Everybody, let's get together and say a beracha for Hashem. Let's get together and serve Hashem together. That's what Rav Kook says really is the purpose of Zimun. Now, with that machshava introduction, with that understanding of why we do a Zimun, I want to demonstrate for you some of the halachot of Zimun as they come out in the Nusach of Zimun, at least for tonight. The Nusach of Zimun, the text that we recite in the Zimun, And if we have any more time, I'll add on another layer of machshava as well. So, clear so far? The need for Zimun comes from a need to prepare ourselves to recite Birkat HaMazon in a very basic halachic sense, and in a more spiritual sense, Rav Kook says, the Rambam says, it's to bring the Shekhinah. If you're already going to be engaging in this debased, physicality that you have no choice what to do, you might as well make a threesome out of it and bring the Shekhinah along as well. Rav Kook added on that more than that, interacting with other people and the really brings out midot tovot and allows us all to serve Hashem better and become more shalem. So the Zimun is there to help us, remind us the purpose of our interaction, our gathering. Now I want to discuss what is exactly going on when we recite the Zimun. And this will touch on what Ariel said. Yes, Ariel.
If the main idea is to be prepared for like what we're about to do and have the Shekhinah like around us, can you have the Shekhinah if you have two people, like even if two people like learn Torah,
right?
So you can still be prepared for what you're about to do with two people. Why is it physically three people that you need to like get in the zone or something,
right?
So I have a kavita with somebody.
Yeah, Mishnah says that. Mishnah says you have 10 people learning Torah, and the Shekhinah is there. And then if you have 3 people, you have 2 people, and one person even the Shekhinah is there. So I think the question on the Mishnah is, so what's the point of having 10 people if the Shekhinah is always there? I think that one of the easy answers is that there's just more Shekhinah present. Well, you're saying, what's the difference between 2 and 3? It's a good question. We have to go look in the Rambam and the Perusha Mishnah to see. I'm not sure. I have to go look in the next line in the Mishnah. After 3, people wait together and talk about 2. We have to see what the Rambam says over there. I did not look inside, so I don't know. I'm sorry. But it's a very good question. So it's 2 great questions from Chacham Kashizadeh tonight. I'm going to answer the first one in a minute, but the second one I'm not sure. The first one was why we say Sof Davar, if the real reason for Shekhinah, for Zimun, is for Havu Godeh Eloheinu. Let's see. Seir HaTefillah. Sidur Mesachi Yidat HaMizrach. Let's go to Birkat HaMazon. It's a Sefaria. It's a great tool. Now, this is Birkat HaMazon. I'm sure you guys have all seen this before. Birkat HaMazon begins in some Sidurim with Lam Natzeach. And then we go to Avarecha. And after Avarecha, we say Havlam Rivich Ma'atai La'ach Adisha. Everyone says Shamaim. Birshut La'atai La'ach Adisha. All the Birshuts. And then, Baruch She'achalnu Mishaboh, maybe Elokeinu with Minyan. Baruch She'achalnu, and Baruch She'achalnu, and then Birkat HaMazon. Now, what exactly is happening in this Seder? Why is it that we recite Avarecha? Why is it that we recite Havlan? Didn't the Mishnah just say that we should say Nivarech and Baruch? Why do we need all these other things? And if you have a Minyan, Mishnah says you say Elokeinu. Mishnah has other opinions. Maybe if you have 100 people, you should add in more words. Nevarech Elokeinu, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, Shechal Mishalo. But we assume in Maaseh that there is no difference. Once you have more than 10 people, you can have a million people, you always only recite Elokeinu, we don't add in more words. So, where did all this come from? Havlan, Avarecha. It really comes from a Zohar. The Zohar says that if you want to engage in the Zimun, you want to do the mitzvah of Zimun, of prompting each other to recite Birkat HaMazon, you have to prompt each other one time before that. Because the Sitra Achara, the Satan, is going to try to mess you up. So what you do is you say Havlan Ibn Ibrich first, in preparation, and that somehow Alpi Kabbalah removes the Sitra Achara, gets rid of him. Everyone says Shamayim, and then you can say Nevarach She'achalnu Mishaboh. The Arizal says this as well, that you should say this. Ashkenazim do this as well. They say Rabosai Nevarech, Or in Yiddish you say, Rabusai Mervalin Benchin. And everyone responds, Yishem Hashem Yivarach Atavi Adolam. It's the same idea as Havam Nirich, and everyone says Shamayim. The same exact idea. They just have a different nosach. And the Aruch HaShulchan explains further that whenever you want to do something important, you have to plan it. You got to get people on board. Get them together. Send them a calendar invite to come and join you. We're going to make a Zimun together. Zimun is very important. Everybody, let's get together and make a Zimun. So we find in Parasha Noach, Hava nivne lanu ir. Hava. Everybody come. Come give. Let's build a city together. Or Paro says in Parashat Shemot, Hava nitcha kemolo. Let's outsmart the Jews. Excuse me. Or Moshe Rabbeinu says in Devarim, Havu lachem anashim. Here too we say, Hava nivrich makai lachad isha. By mitzvah, there's a beracha beforehand, etc. So we said this idea sort of already. Fine. That's why we say Havla Mirich Makai Lakadisha. And Rav Moshe Halevi, I don't know if you guys know who Rav Moshe Halevi is. Rav Moshe Halevi was a Ram, who was a Rebbe in Yeshivat Kisei Rachamim in Bnei Brak. And he was a young Tamei Chacham who put out tons and tons of Svarim for his age. Put out about 10 volumes. Between Birkat Hashem on Hilchot Berachot, Menuchat Ahava on Hilchot Shabbat, and Milveh Hashem, Malveh Hashem on Revit, and a few other things also. He was a big Tamei Chacham. He died at the age of 39. He was 39 years old when he died in 2000, and he wrote this amazing sefer called Birkat Hashem. You can buy it in all the major stores that carry Sfardi Svarim. Birkat Hashem is great in that Halacha is on top, explanations on bottom. Unlike Rav Ovadia's style, where the whole point is to be an encyclopedia and not really elaborate on the Svarot, they'll mention the Svarot in Rav Ovadia's Svarim. This Rishon, that Rishon, but it doesn't, unless you open the Svarim, you're not always going to get the clear step-by-step explanation of the Shitota Rishonim and the Sugya. Rav Ovadia is great, but it's a different style. Rav Moshe Halevi, when you learn a sugya, you want to learn what, like an acharon on the sugya, you have Rav Moshe Halevi who really helps you expand and think about the svarot in the rishonim, what's peshat in a specific rishon, not just Rav Adya telling you there's three opinions in what the Rambam said. Ayin Sham, I think this one is the right one. You didn't learn what the Rambam said. You didn't learn how to learn the Rambam. And if he told you a little bit, there's a lot more in the sources that he cited for you, so you have to look them up. Rav Moshe Halevi does a lot of that for you, so it's great. So he argues on Rav Ovadia on a lot of things. A lot of things. Rav Ovadia really liked him, but also went to town against him also. Rav Moshe Halevi says that, what does this mean? What does this mean? Havan rich l'akai l'akidisha. We have this whole business here. What does it literally mean? Give us and let us bless Hashem, the King of the Universe, right? The Holy King. What are we asking for? We're asking to plan. That was the Aruch HaShulchan's pshat. But the Arizal didn't say it that way. The Arizal said, it means that we're talking to the Shamash, the waiter. And we're asking the waiter, hand us a cup of wine so that we can say Birkat HaMazon. Most of us don't have a cup of wine. And even if we do, we don't all have a cup of wine. Therefore, in many Sidurim, they actually omit this line. Because they say that that's not necessary anymore. No one uses a cup of wine at Zimun. So we take out this line. That's one of the annoying things at Safaria. We take out this line of Havam and Yirifu Lakadisha because it's not necessary anymore. We don't have a cup of wine at our Zimunim. So we leave it out. And we suffice with Avarecha as our prompt to get rid of the Sitra Achara. That also covers the same thing. And even if you want to keep it in, he thinks, Sir Moshe Levi, that Arizal would say that you should take out the word lan, because even if we're going to use a cup of wine, only one of us will. Now, you notice, that was the havlan. We're going step by step. Avarecha takes the place of havlan. We also have a havlan from the Arizal and the Zohar. It's important to know these things, because if you ever set foot out of a great neck, outside of Great Neck, you know, whether it be in the Tiv, or if Chas V'Shalom, the single guys among us one day marry outside of the community. I'm just saying if. Or if you know a friend who married outside of the community, and you have to explain to the foreigner, the Ashkenazi, non-Smarty foreigner, you have to explain what is this rare, weird Nusach of Zimun that you Svartim are saying, you should explain. Well, first of all, there's a Zohar and an Arizal that you have to get rid of the Sitra Achara beforehand. That's why we prompt each other with Havran. Our Hashulchan says it's about planning, so what do you guys do with Birshus? Now, Shamayim. My brothers-in-law love saying Shamayim. And I'm at my in-laws for Shabbat, and my father-in-law asked me to bench, so I say Avarecha, and I say Vayidrei Elai, Zeh HaShulchan HaShul Lefnei Hashem, and then they say Shamayim! Like, dude, relax. We're not there yet. And I say Havan V'Rivich V'Akal HaKad Isha, and then my wife says Shamayim, and then they all get the idea, and they also say Shamayim. What is Shamayim? What are we talking about Shamayim? Who cares about Shamayim? And then Yishkai says, that Shamayim is Roshei Tevot. This is in Rav Pe'alim in Chelek Dalet in Simach Afet. He says, Shamayim is Roshei Tevot, Shomeya Mashmiya. The listener and the one speaking to the others, Shomeya Mashmiya Yachtav Mechavnim. They have Kavana together. Havan Rig, I'm going to say the Zimun for you. You guys have Kavana, so that you can answer to the Zimun. That's Roshei Tevot, Shamayim. Okay, it's a cube shot. That was why we say Shamayim. We want to encourage everyone to have Kavana. That's sort of like saying L'chaim, whatever, right? Rishos, L'chaim, whatever, fine. Sabri L'Aranan, have Kavana. That's literally what it means. Are you paying attention? Now, what's with the Birshus? Rishos, Birshut Malka Ha'ilah Kadisha, Shabbat Malka Gita, Yomata Malka Ushpiza Kadisha, Shiva Ushpizim Ila In Kadishin. What are all the Birshuts for? So, the Kaf HaChaim has a whole list of these things. And it's another nice thing that we do, Api Kabbalah, it has value, the Kaf HaChaim discusses. There's a whole discussion, when you're in someone's home, you say, Birshut Baal HaBayit, Birshut HaRab, Birshut HaKohen. So there's a big discussion nowadays, when you're in someone's home, you say, Birshut Baal HaBayit, Uva'alas HaBayis HaZeh. After the woman, she cooked all the food. The husband didn't cook all the food. He paid for it. You have to say Birshut Baal HaBayit and Baal HaBayit. If a person's home with his parents, you have to say Birshut Avi Ve'ini, Chami Ve'chamoti. What are you supposed to do? So, is that one of the Birshuts to ask or not? So, Chacham Ben Tzion Abba Shaul, who was super Charedi, super, super Charedi in Hashkafa, not into feminism whatsoever, obviously, not into anything modern whatsoever. Chacham Ben Tzion said, of course, when you're with both of your parents, you say, Birshut Avi Ve'imi. Of course you do. He took it as a Davar Pashut. That's the way it's quoted in Torah Yeshiva. Rav Nevin Saul is quoted by Rav Elchanan Prince in Shut Avnei Derech. Avnei Derech is a great Shut Sefer, a modern Shut Sefer. Chalek Zayin of Orachayim Saul Amit Gimel. He quotes Rav Nevin Saul. Rav Nevin Saul reads the entire Sefer before he puts it out and offers Ha'arot to Rav Prince. Rav Nevin Saul says that, no, you don't say it for the mother. Because you don't... What are you asking Rishut from the mother for? You say Rishut HaKohen, because the Kohen should really have the mitzvah, and he gives it to you, of doing the Zimun. Rishut Baal HaBayit HaZeh, because the Baal HaBayit decides who should be the Mizamen. He told you to be Mizamen. The wife couldn't be Mizamen. Her husband makes the decision. Her husband could say the Zimun himself. The Kohen could say the Zimun himself. But he chose to give it to you. The woman couldn't have said the Zimun herself, so why did she say Birshus? Why do you need her Rishut? You don't need her Rishut. You should say the Zimun without her. There's nothing to do with her. Therefore, Rav Nevin Saul says, you don't have to say Harachaman, you don't have to say Birshut Avi Ve'ini, only say Birshut Avi. At the same time, Rav Shefter was one time, yes, Aryeh?
This might not be such a good question, but I just don't know the answer. Why can't the woman make a Zimun? Like, let's say there are three women saying together.
We're going to talk about it. Women Zimun, we're going to talk about it. For now, let's just say if there is a zimun of men, there's not allowed to have a zimun of women. But, yeah. That's what we, women should, can, and maybe should make their own zimun. That's going to be a topic in and of itself. Great question. But let's say you're making a men's zimun, you have to say b'rishut ha-women. So, b'ajazei zaino. That's what you do to get them to be quiet when they're talking in shul. Zaino b'ajazei. Soket pashit. That type of thing. So b'rishut ha-ladies, according to Rav Nemesal, is not necessary because they're not allowed to, they don't have a say right now anyway if it's a men's zimun. Rav Shefter was once in Shalvim, I wasn't there. He was once eating in the Chadar Ochel, the cafeteria in Shalvim, and he said there were a couple boys in Shalvim who were actually arguing about this. Should you say Bershut Ba'alas HaBa'is HaZeh? So there was a Sephardi boy there, and the Sephardi boy at the table said, well, look at the Zimun. We say Bershut Shabbat Malkita. Bershut the Shabbos Malka. She's a woman. And you still say Bershut Shabbat. So you see, you could say Bershut for a woman, and it doesn't matter whether she could say the Zimun or not. So, okay, that's a good raya for Sfaradim. It would be okay for a Sfaradi to say Bershut Imi. There was a great Rav, Rav Shar Yashuva Kohen, who was the son of the Nazir. It's a whole story in and of itself of who he was. He fought in Melchemet Sheshet Hayamim. He freed Melchemet, he freed Yerushalayim HaKodesh from the Jordanians, and he was the chief rabbi of Haifa for many years. He says it's still Kibud Av Va'Em. It's still Kibud Av Va'Em, you should say, with my mother's permission. My mother might tell you not to do it. So you have to thank your mother also. Kibud Av Va'Em for your parents. You should always say, Bishud Avi V'Ini. Okay, it's a machloket tachlis. Whether you should or not. Oftentimes you're at somebody's house and the person making the zimun says, Bishus Ba'al Avai Sazeh, and everybody raises his eyebrows. So now you know a little bit more about the sugya. There are different opinions on each side, and there's nothing to do with feminism. If it has to do with feminism, so the whole thing is pasul and batel. But this has nothing to do with feminism. This is just pure halacha. Derech Eretz, Kibud Av Va'Em, etc. Just in closing for tonight, and then we'll be done, we say Nevarach She'achal Mishalol. Everyone says Baruch She'achal Mishalol, and Baruch She'achal Mishalol to the Chayinu. I wanted to show you some of this in Shulchan Aruch, but it's okay, we didn't have to do it in Shulchan Aruch also. We could do it like this. We say Nevarech Eloheinu, not Nevarech Leloheinu. No Lamed. In Nevarech. And there are some Ashkenazim who say Amen or Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. It's not our Minhag. There's no Makor and Shas and Poskim. We don't do that at all. And you should know that there are also some who actually do like a butt pump. You know, when they say Baruch Elokeinu Shachar Mishalom. They sit up a little bit. So what's peshat with that? So zimun, according to some Rishonim, is a davar shebi'ech dusha, just like, and therefore it requires a minyan. It's not a separate thing. It's just like any davar shebi'ech dusha, you require a minyan. So for davar shebi'ech dusha, the real rule is that you're supposed to always stand. There are a few exceptions, but you're supposed to stand for davar shebi'ech dusha. You stand for kedusha, nafishah, kaddish, etc. You're supposed to stand. So if you assume that Zimun with Hashem's name is a Darash B'Kedushah, you're also supposed to stand. But you're supposed to sit for Birkat HaMazon. So you sit for the Zimun part. When you say Baruch She'achal Mishalom, that's the part you're supposed to sit for, stand for, and that's the Darash B'Kedushah. So you say Baruch She'achal Mishalom Zuchayinu. That's according to Rashi. And Barachot, well, it says Darash B'Kedushah, you're supposed to stand. Those were some highlights. There are a few more pratim in the nusach of the zimun. I think I answered Ariel's question of why don't we say halulodel Eloheinu, that it's not the zimun itself that we're doing when we say avarecha. It's a separate thing to get rid of the sitra achara, sukim of musar. I guess maybe it would have been appropriate to have halul Hashem, or I'm not sure why we don't, but why it's not necessary here, I can understand at the very least. And Bezrat Hashem, next week we'll continue with some more halachot of Zimun. Practical things to talk about is when you can count with other people towards the Zimun, and when you join other people, and who can recite the Zimun, why do you have to eat to rejoin the Zimun, and women's Zimun, children's Zimun. Bezrat Hashem, we'll talk about all those things in the coming weeks. Thank you guys for coming. It's a great chavura. I'm very happy to be learning with you. And Bezrat Hashem, we'll keep growing together. Have a great week.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Kol tov. Hatzlacha, everybody.